Did you have much trouble recording these, Brent? Did it take you long at all?
No. We used to go in and record and get 5 or 6 songs a session.
I know one thing that, you know, a lot of people back in the late 50s, early 60s got into the gimmick business, you know, in recording.
Right.
You didn't do too much of that, did you?
I did that because I knew that I had to reproduce on stage whatever I did on records. So I didn't want a bunch of echo and people, me singing with myself 14 times overdubbed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just kept it kind of simple to where when I did it on the stage, people would nudge each other and say, well, golly, that doesn't sound like what I bought on the record.
Exactly.
You know, because people get, if they're like me, they want to hear what they bought. I do.
That can be a huge, real letdown, can't it?
Yes, it can give you a real letdown. It really can.
Brenda, you had so many hits, and I have in front of me a list here of everything you did, and there were so many that made the top 10 or the top 20 anyway. Out of all of them, what would be your personal favorite?
Gosh, that's an awfully hard question. I suppose I'm Sorry would have to be my favorite. It's only a little simple 8-bar song, but we'd held it for such a long time, and we'd been trying to record it for 2 or 3 years. It was kind of a pet with us, so I guess that's my favorite.
How do you mean you had held it and been trying to record?
Well, you know, we had been recording things like a child would record. I mean, you don't expect to hear a 14-year-old singing of Unrequited Love. You know, you just, my record company said the public just won't accept that. You know, she's too young of a girl to be singing I'm Sorry, you know, I Was Such a Fool. You know, she's still playing with paper dolls. They'll never go for that idea at all. And we said, well, just let us try it. You know, just let us put it out on the market and see. So we had about 5 minutes left over on a session, and we didn't even have an arrangement. We did a head arrangement on it. We cut it, and it was number one for 8 weeks across the nation.
You once said that you didn't think anyone really influenced your singing style because you started out so young and weren't conscious of other singers. You did start out young, didn't you, Brenda?
I started out at the age of 5.
At what?
5 years old.
What were you doing at 5?
Oh, I was doing a little television show in Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I'm originally from.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a little amateur shows and anything that a 5-year-old can get.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think anybody influenced me then. Later on, I listened to a lot of people, but I don't believe I ever tried to copy anybody.
Yeah, I was going to mention that you said because you were so young that you really didn't, you know, have anybody you could have copied, you know, at the time.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember listening, you know, to records when I was little, but I don't remember who they were, just to learn little songs to do. But I don't remember, you know, like at that age, what, you know, what would you couldn't pick out anybody and say, hey, you know, that's who I want to sound like. So I don't really think that.
You were born Brenda Lee Tarpley, is that right?
Well, actually, I was born Brenda Mae Tarpley. I don't tell that to a whole lot of people, but I'll tell it to you since I'm the first girl to be interviewed. At Emory University Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. And we got the Lee from Tarpley because they said Tarpley didn't ring a bell. Didn't look too good on a marquee if I ever made it big in show business. So we changed it to Lee.
And it became just Brenda Lee then.
Right.